Have you ever had anyone poke you in the eye? I mean, it's an offense that really causes you to reel because your eyes are so sensitive. And when they do that to you, I mean, you want to lash back. Say, don't do that to me. Do you know what God means when he says, don't touch my anointed? Don't you touch the pupil of my eye. The pupil of God's eye is God's people. And we're going to look at what happens when people touch God's eye. About something getting in your eye or someone coming up and touching your eye, then what happens is you go immediately, you're blinking. And you're blinking because the eye is so very, very sensitive. Well, when we open 1 Samuel chapter 15, what we're going to see in essence is what God is going to do to those who touched the apple, the pupil of his eye. And what I want us to do as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 is to realize that we are moving right now in a pivotal chapter into the introduction of David, the man after God's own heart. And if you want to appreciate that transition from Saul to David, then you have to really start at 1 Samuel chapter 15. So that's what we're going to look at today. And I know that God is going to bless you. And I just want you to know that I love you and that I appreciate you. And I'm so thankful. You know, we are looking for people who are looking for truth. We're praying that God would create a gnawing hunger within his people for the word of God, and that nothing would be able to quench that gnawing hunger except the word of God itself. And that's because these are the very words of God. And what we're looking at is we're looking at God's history, at his story. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. In other words, God had me make you, anoint you as king, and now God has a message for you. God has made you the king, and God as the king wants you to obey. And he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way when he was coming from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. You say, whoa, I mean, he is really upset with those people. I mean, they really must have hit him in the eye very, very hard. Yes, he is very upset with the Amalekites. And the reason that he's upset with them is because of what the Amalekites, what Amalek did to the children of Israel when they had come out of the house of bondage, when they had come out of Egypt, and how they tormented them. And what we're going to see is this, that God is a God of love, that God is a God of compassionate, that his mercies are new every morning. But if you go against his word, and if you go against his people, then eventually, and get the word eventually, then eventually God will deal with you. So what I want us to do is I want us to see this word utterly destroy. Now it is going to become a key word in this chapter. And I want you to understand what he's saying and telling Saul that he is to do to the Amalekites. In verse 3, it says, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy. Amalek. Utterly destroy him for what he did to Israel. And you are to not spare him, but you are to put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Everything is to be utterly destroyed. Now, the root of that word, utterly destroyed, and it's only used in this chapter in 1 Samuel, is HRM. And HRM means to give totally. You are to give totally all that belongs to the Amalekites. You are to give it totally to God for destruction. And it says, woman, child and infant. In other words, when you go in there, you are to put even the babies to death. You say, that's absolutely horrible. I don't want to hear about a God like that. I know it's hard to understand, isn't it? It's hard to understand because you look at an infant, you look at a child, and you say, but they're so innocent. But you see, infants and children grow up. And as infants and children grow up and listen very carefully, they, in essence, become a product of their environment. They become a product of what is happening in their lives. And unless God intervenes, I mean, if they are raised wrong, they can end up wrong. And this is why it's so important, beloved, for you to know that the way that you raise your children is absolutely crucial. Now let's go back and find out why God is so upset with Amalek. And I want us to go back to Exodus chapter 17. Now, Exodus chapter 17 is an absolutely awesome, awesome chapter because the children of Israel have come out of the land of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, they're in the wilderness of sin. Now, it's not because they're sinning there. It's just called the wilderness of sin. And I've been there and it's just incredible. I mean, you look out over it. We do this when we go to Israel, when we take our teaching tours and you look out over it and it's absolutely breathtaking because it's sand and dirt and with a little oasis here and a little oasis there. But in this wilderness of sin where they were so thirsty, God had Moses strike a rock and the rock brought forth water and all the children of Israel drank. But right after that triumph, there came a trial. And many times, beloved, that's the way it is in our lives. Things are going great and it seems everything is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, somebody, in a sense, pokes you in the eye. All of a sudden, there's an upsetting event. You know what I'm talking about because it's happened to you. Maybe you've been in a group and everything is going well. And then somebody says something or somebody does something. And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changes. Well, that's what happens in Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, in verse 8, it says, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And it says, and Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now, I'm not going to read you all the story, but I will tell you this, and you probably remember it if you've studied the Bible. But what you find is you find that when those men were down there fighting in the valley, if Moses could keep the rod of God in his hand and held high, then they would win the battle. But when his hands became heavy, then what happened is they began to lose. And that was why there was Aaron and Hur there to hold up his hands. Well, eventually the battle was won. And then it says in verse 13, so Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua that I will utterly, now listen, I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. I want you to know, beloved, that there is a day coming when you won't remember who poked you in the eye. You won't remember who hurt you. You won't remember who wounded you. Those sad thoughts will not come back to your mind. There is a day coming, just as there is a day when God is going to blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. But watch what he goes on to say. And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, this is one of the names of God. It's Jehovah or Yahweh Nisi. And it means the Lord, my banner. In other words, he's the standard that I'm going to stand under. He's the flag that I'm going to hold. As you saw that famous statue from Iwo Jima in World War II, and they're putting up the flag and the strain of those men putting that flag there, saying, "Hey, we have conquered. Hey, we have won. In the midst of this brutal battle, we have come out as more than conquerors." Well, this is what God is saying. I'm the banner that you stand under. And I want you to know that if you will stand under my banner, I will take care of your enemies. And he said, "The Lord has sworn." The Lord has sworn. Yahweh, Yehovah has sworn. The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Well, what we've come to is we've come to the generation, to the time of Saul. And he is going to have war against, through Saul, against Amalek. And he's going to have war against Saul's going to have war against Amalek because of what Amalek did. Because Amalek touched God's anointed. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. And in Deuteronomy chapter 25, now remember, it's the last book of the law. So this is what I would suggest that you do. I would suggest that when you study your Bible, that you use a pencil. Okay, because then you can write and you can erase if it's not neat enough for you. I mean, sometimes I get to be a little bit of a neat freak. And if it's not neat enough for you, or if you decide you don't want it, then you can simply erase it. And so next to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, you would have written Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. And then next to verse 16, you could write Amalek references and put down Deuteronomy chapter 25 and then verses 17 to 19. So let's go to Deuteronomy 25 because I want you to understand why God is dealing with Amalek and why he is saying, "I want you to utterly destroy everything, everything that belongs to Amalek. I want you to destroy all the Amalekites. I want them gone. I'm going to have war with them, and I'm going to have war with them because they attacked my people, because they came up on the rear of my people, and they did not honor them, and they did not honor me when they touched them." Now listen, in a sense, although you may have a hard time understanding God, this ought to give you comfort. It ought to remind you that God is going to take care of those that deal wrongly with you in his time. Remember, verse 17, what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. To fear God means to trust God. To fear God means to respect God. To fear God means to honor him as God. The next word of the next verse says, "Therefore." And when you see a therefore, you want to find out what the therefore is there for. And we'll see that right after this break.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook. Welcome back, beloved. You know, I was thinking while you were on that break, I was thinking, you know, it is one thing to deal with an adversary when you know, hey, that's an adversary, and I can see that adversary coming towards me. It's another thing to deal with an adversary when you're strong. But the adversary, Amalek, came against the children of Israel from the rear. They didn't know that he was coming. It was like a dog coming and yapping and yapping and yapping and biting and growling and getting its teeth up there and snarling and scaring you half to death. And the thing is, he did it when they were faint. He did it when they were weary. Isn't that oftentimes the way it happens? The enemy sends somebody into your life when you are faint, when you are weary, and they kind of sneak up on you and they attack you from the back. You know, it's not fair. You say it's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. But you know what? Because you belong to God, God is going to enable you to win the battle, and God is going to enable you to walk victoriously if you will just remember these principles and precepts from His Word. Look at verse 19. Remember, I said there's a therefore. And He says, when you were faint and weary, Amalek did not fear God. Therefore, it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess. Well, that's where they are. They're in the land. The land has been conquered now, and yet there is an enemy to be dealt with. And so now God is going to send Saul to the Amalekites where Saul can work out what God says here. Watch. He says, in the land which the Lord God gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And then he makes a statement, you must not forget. Well, Saul has a call in his life. Now, if you're marking this and you want to do this, so right in the margin next to verse 17, Amalek, it's spelled A-M-A-L-E-K. So write that in your margin. And next to that, put 1 Samuel chapter 15 and then verses 2 to 33. Because in all that passage of 1 Samuel 15, the focus is going to be on Amalek. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now what are you doing? And I want you to see this because I don't want to just sit here and teach you and have you buy and swallow everything that I say, because I want you to know how to study the Word of God yourself, how to listen to various teachers, and how to discern whether they are teaching you truth or not, and whether it's in accord with the whole counsel of God. And that's why it's so important, beloved, for you to study the Bible book by book, for you to learn God's truths precept upon precept, because through His precepts you get understanding, and then you can hate every false way, and you hate it because it's false, because it goes against the Word of God, which are the very words that come out of God's mouth and which are absolute truth. Well, when we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king. Verse 2, I will punish Amalek. Verse 3, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him. In other words, I want you to destroy Amalek. And that means if you're going to destroy Amalek, and listen very carefully, you're going to go for the head of Amalek. And the head of Amalek is the king of Amalek. So I want you to destroy him. I want you to destroy all that he has. I want you to get the children. I want you to get the women, which are the natural ones that you would spare. And also, I want you to deal with all the animals. All the animals are to go. All right. Now, verse 4. Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. That's quite an army he's mustered. Saul came to the city of Amalek. Now, what God is doing is God is sending Saul south. He is sending Saul south, and we believe that he's probably sending him down to a tell that they have uncovered. It's very, very interesting. And it's called Tell Maros, M-A-R-O-S. And it's about 7 miles east to southeast of Beersheba. It's down in what we call the Negev, in kind of the desert part. And that's where Amalek was living. And so he's going to send him south, and he's going to send him down there with this army to punish them. Now, what you want to do is, when you read the Bible and study the Bible, and I've told you this before, but you want to watch the whens, and you want to watch the wheres. So you want to mark when, time references with a little clock, and you want to mark wheres. And what I do in my Bible is I double underline them in a green line so that I can follow the sequence of events and know when they happened and where they happened. So it says, Saul came to the city of Amalek, and he set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, now listen, this is so important, go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So here they were together. Now I want you to see the justice of God. I want you to see the compassion of God. I want you to understand who God is, because so many times we have a warped view of God, and we have a warped view of God because we go by our own reasoning and our own understanding. And God tells us not to lean to our own understanding. God tells us that man's thoughts are not God's thoughts, that God's thoughts are so much higher. So if you want to know God's thoughts, you've got to know God's ways. And the way that you know God's ways, beloved, is by doing exactly what we are doing. And that is studying through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and seeing what God has to say. And as you do that, you get to know your God. And the people who know their God are able to stand firm, and they are able to take action. They are able to have a strength, not to be faint and not to be weary, but be able to handle any situation of life. And so that's what this program is all about. It's about establishing you in God's word as that which produces reverence for him. Well, this is what it says. So the Canaanites departed from the Amalekites. Now, what you see is God has made a distinction between the good and between the evil, between those that have feared him and those that have not feared him, between those that have treated God's people properly and those that have not treated God's people properly. And all of this takes us immediately right back to Genesis chapter 12. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, what we find is we find God calling Abraham, and Abraham is going to become the father of a nation, the father of the nation of Israel. And that comes out later through his seed and through his son, who's in his line, which is Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel. But when he calls him in Genesis chapter 12, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he tells him that he is going to make of him a great nation, and that in him, in that nation, all the kingdoms of the earth, all the other nations of the earth will be blessed. And they will be blessed by understanding that from Abraham is coming the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Mashiach HaMashiach, the Savior of the world, who will someday destroy all those nations who have opposed him. And so we come to verse 3, and he makes a statement. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. God keeps his word, and you can know that today, beloved. And you can trust in him, and you can cling to him. Now, beloved, what is your precept for life for today? Well, I want to borrow a scripture that's quoted in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And it's this: vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. You can know this, that you don't have to take vengeance on your enemies, because God will take vengeance. God will make sure that everything is dealt with righteously and justly. And this is what we see in this passage. We see that God is dealing with the enemy of his people, that God is not going to let them get away with what they did. And so many times, you know what? We find it so hard to forgive, don't we? We find it so hard to treat anybody in a decent way when they have hurt us. But God tells us that we are to love our enemies, that we are to do good to those that despitefully use you. And you say, but listen, he told Saul to kill them. That's right. In that economy, God was acting as the judge. In our economy, in this side of Calvary, you and I look at those people and we do good to them and we heap coals of fire on their head, knowing that God has said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Remember, beloved, you're not God. And in this day and in this age, God is not asleep. He knows what's going on, and God loves you. You are the pupil of his eye. He has engraved you on his palm, so to speak, in those nail-pierced hands. And he tells you, I love you and I will take care of you. And he will deal justly with your enemies. And so don't faint. Don't faint when they come against you. And don't give up. And don't wonder, where is God? Just know this, in his time and in his way, he will bring judgment. He will bring justice. It will all be brought out in the open, and everything will be made fair and right and just, and you will be vindicated. But until then, because you have Christ in you now, love them. Love them into the kingdom if you can.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.